It is 18 April. It's Sunday. It's time for the CG Report. Iran claims victory over America. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report, so stand by. From Zero Hedge, Twitter suspends James O'Keefe hours after CNN expose. Nothing to see here. Let's move along. Okay, I got some news for you today from Israel. From I24, Israel High Court rules a movement ban during virus lockdown is unconstitutional. This is the second thing that the Supreme Court has done in favor of the people. Okay, and this is good because they have other things that are going to come up, and like the green passports, and I bet you, based on what they have decided already, they're going to stick with the people on this. So here we go. Israel's High Court of Justice ruled that the government repeatedly overstepped its authority. It barred citizens from departing their homes more than 1 kilometer during multiple coronavirus lockdowns. In the 8-1, this wasn't even close, 8-1 decision handed down, the court specifically cited Israel's second national lockdown, noting the government's actions constituted a disproportionate violation of the right to protest and were unconstitutional. As a result, police fines handed out during that time period are now null and void. If you got a ticket over there protesting in Israel, you don't have to pay it. Okay, from All Israel, lawsuit petitions Supreme Court to abolish discriminatory green passport. They've got the ball in their favor with the Supreme Court. They've put this in. We'll see where it goes. A group of Israeli doctors, scientists, lawyers, and citizens have filed a lawsuit in Israel's Supreme Court against the green passport, calling it coercive and predatory and contrary to the human right to privacy, autonomy, and dignity. Discrimination between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated by denying daily and obvious basic rights in a democratic regime, such as participation in activities subject to the Green Pass, is in fact a coercion of invasive medical treatment contrary to the principle of informed consent enshrined in the Patient's Right Act, the lawyer said. This step constitutes, in addition to the above vulnerability, prohibited discrimination and a violation of the right to equality that lies at the heart of the democratic regime. The lawsuit filed by members of the Public Emergency Council for the Coronavirus Crisis and Common Sense Model sought the immediate withdrawal to green pass regulations that prevented non-vaccinated Holocaust survivors or family members to attend memorial events last week and Memorial Day, which is coming next week, which has just happened this week. This is from one Saturday ago. God forbid we turn the green mark into the infamous yellow star. That was a nice touch on their part, the petition said. So we'll see where that goes. But Israel, the Supreme Court, which is left, I mean, I'm surprised at this. They have favored the citizens in this. So good job for them. From the Times of Israel, IDF receives new spy plane. It says will help gather intel in Iran, Yemen, and Iraq. The IDF received the first of a series of new spy aircraft dubbed the Oron, that it said would improve its ability to gather intel and identify targets for attack in Iran, Iraq, Yemen, and other far-flung areas in the Middle East. The IDF and the IAF already have a variety of intel collection capabilities, but the Oron strengthens our superiority and our ability to operate in the second and third tiers and to move between fronts rapidly and over a long period of time, said Israeli Air Force Chief Norkin. And just so you know, this is kind of like the AWACS that we have. They can go and monitor things is what's going on. We also have the JSTARS, which came out later. When I was in the Air Force, I was given a ride on the AWACS. And as long as they weren't doing something classified at the time, I had free rein to the whole plane. And we flew all over Japan and out over the Sea of Japan and monitored things. And they could zoom in at that time on a seagull. It was amazing. So, and that was the unclassified stuff that I could see. So, you know, that was a fun one. Then I also went on a flight very similar to this, which is a smaller Gulfstream or something like that. It's a jet, but I got to fly around Japan in that one as well. And that was a surveillance aircraft more like the one that Israel has. It was a smaller one, and they did certain types of surveillance, which the AWACS did not do. Anyway, the second tier refers to countries that do not border Israel but represent a direct threat to the country, such as Iraq and Yemen, where Iran maintains proxies with missile and drone capabilities that could be used against Israel. While the third tier refers to enemy countries located further than that, principally Iran. The airplane, a Gulfstream G550 Aerospace, has been outfitted with a bevy. I love that word, bevy. A bevy of sensors and data collection equipment that allows it to rapidly locate targets in all weather conditions, according to one of its creators. The Oron, literally meaning stable man, was developed over the course of 9 years in a collective effort by the IDF, defense minister, and weapons contractors. The precise number of Oron aircraft that the IDF is due to receive is classified. The plane gives the IDF a modern and unprecedented intel feature that uses breakthrough sensory systems, a variety of sensors and radars that are installed in the plane. All of these will flow high-quality data into the IDF's intel arrays. I guarantee you one of those is the type of technology that Sergio used for one of his videos that flew over the Temple Mount. And it was, you're not allowed to do that, okay? You cannot fly anywhere over that part of Jerusalem, ever. You can't fly drones there, but there you can go up in the higher levels of the atmosphere and fly over it. And a guy developed a technology that could literally see every detail as if it was real life. Okay, you can see people standing there, shadows, everything. And it was some type of, not radar, but Sergio could tell you. Anyway, this guy did this, and he put it out for sale, and nobody wanted to buy it, and the IDF bought it. They saw this technology, and they just scooped it up. And so I guarantee you that's what they have, where they can see things crystal clear in any weather, clouds or anything. It'll go right through it. But anyway, here we go. From Israel Hayom, Azerbaijani official calls to open embassy in Israel. Good job, Azerbaijan. Israel and Azerbaijan celebrated 29 years to the establishment of bilateral ties. Senior officials from both countries, including Azeri politicians and Israelis, deputy ambassador to Azerbaijan, took part in the event. Farid Shafiev, the chairman of Azerbaijan's Center of Analysis of International Relations, said, "The Azeri people and the Jewish people have had a long history together. Jews have lived in Azerbaijan for 2,500 years. The historic ties between the peoples are deep." He said, "This shared history was the basis for bilateral ties. There are Israelis that are influenced by the Armenian lobby who think the basis for Israel-Azerbaijan ties is oil and weapons. Factually speaking, they are wrong. The basis for the ties is historic. There's also no doubt the economic ties are significant. Historians attack the image of the Israelis and Azerbaijanis. Nevertheless, that is also what unites us. We are united and we need to upgrade our ties. The time has come to open an Azerbaijan embassy in Israel." Who would think that that would happen? But you know what? This was all started. The ball really got rolling with our previous president. So thanking him right now. Some news concerning the state of Christianity today. I'd like to, before I give you that news, congratulate Jerry and Karen, who have finished all of the Superior Word Genesis sermons. So there you go. But I wanted to congratulate them. All right, from the New York Times, white evangelical resistance is obstacle in vaccination effort. In other words, it's all our fault. The deeply held spiritual convictions or counterfactual arguments may vary, but across white evangelical America, reasons to not get vaccinated have spread as quickly as the virus that public health officials are hoping to overcome through herd immunity. The opposition is rooted in a mix of religious faith and longstanding wariness of mainstream science. You know, I've been thinking all week long, if you remember Thomas Dolby, she blinded me with science. That's been going on in my head all week long. Science! It's like it's the end of the matter when you say it's science. And it is fueled by broader cultural distrust of institutions and gravitation to online conspiracy theories. The sheer size of the community poses a major problem for the country's ability to recover from a pandemic that has resulted in the deaths of 500,000 Americans. And evangelical ideas and instincts have a way of spreading, even internationally. There are about 41 million white evangelical adults in the U.S. Now, they blame it all on the white ones. The black evangelicals don't matter in their counting, apparently. About 45% said in late February that they would not get vaccinated against COVID-19, making them among the least likely demographic groups to do so, according to the Pew Research Center. If we can't get a significant number of white evangelicals to come around on this, the pandemic is going to last much longer than it needs to, said Jamie Atten, founder and executive director of the Humanitarian Disaster Institute at Wheaton College, an evangelical institution in Illinois. As vaccines become more widely available, and as worrisome virus variants develop, the problem takes on new urgency. Significant numbers of Americans generally are resistant to getting vaccinated, but white evangelicals present unique challenges because of their complex web of moral, medical, and political objections. There's a web going on here. And the challenge is further complicated by longstanding distrust between evangelicals and the scientific community, meaning that we're crazy on things like evolution, and we're crazy on things where the Bible says God created and they say God didn't create, so we're wackos because of that. That's the idea that you're getting from the New York Times, from LifeSite. Pope Francis calls for global, tell me this isn't right out of the book of Revelation, global governance and universal vaccines in letter to globalist financial summit. He's writing to the financial summit of the whole world, and he's telling them that we need to do these globalist things. Pope Francis has addressed the World Bank and IMF at their spring meeting, calling for global governance in light of COVID-19, strongly advocating for universal vaccines and bemoaning the ecological debt which is owed to nature itself. Dated 4 April, the letter mentioned God once in the final line. Instead, Francis focused on calling for a system of global government which would implement a new societal order upon the world based upon climate change policies and universal vaccination. Now, years before this guy became the Pope, I preached on Genesis chapter 11, and I said that what is coming with climate change is a repeat of the Tower of Babel. I justified it then, and it is exactly what we are saying here. It is exactly. Go do the comparison, go watch the sermon, and you will agree. And this was years before this guy was even the Pope. Okay? So, the City of Seven Hills. Francis repeated the claim that COVID has shown how no one is saved alone. The Pope said no one is saved alone. Faith in Jesus Christ does not save you, apparently. And hence, new and creative forms of social, political, and economic participation must be drawn up. Francis also renewed his frequent call for a paradigm shift in global politics, saying, there remains an urgent need for a global plan, Revelation, that can create new or regenerate existing institutions, especially those of global governance, and help to build a new network of international relations for advancing the integral human development of all peoples. It's just like reading the book of Revelation. A principal effect of the desired global government would be the reduction of debt in order to enable easy access primarily to vaccines, yes, followed by health, education, and jobs. Unreal. From the Christian Post, Beth Moore apologizes for role in elevating complementarianism to matter of first importance. Y'all know what complementarianism is. It's saying that women have their role in the church and men have their role in the church, and we have to abide by. If it is a part of Scripture, which it is, it's very clearly defined there, then it's not a matter of second importance. It becomes a doctrinal matter of first importance because it is defined in Scripture. 1 month after announcing her departure from the Southern Baptist Convention, Beth Moore's apologized for her role in elevating complementarian theology to a matter of first importance. That's saying that what the Bible says is not of first importance. That's what she's saying. Moore addressed complementarianism, a theological framework that says women have distinct roles in the family and church and are forbidden from holding certain offices in the church, which is 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. Also read 1 Corinthians 4. But that's, you know, you don't need to use that. The pastoral epistles are doctrine for the church. Okay, I see Vic is getting out his Bible to read this, and so he'll know exactly what I'm talking about in a minute. But those are doctrine for the church. The pastoral epistles set the policy. I'll give you a couple other verses other than those two. A pastor, and then it says the same thing about a deacon, is to be the husband of but one life. Okay, that's right. Implying that the person is a man. Okay, there are all kinds of implied things about that doctrine in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 is explicit. Okay, but the other ones are implied. But because they're implied and they cannot be changed in any other way, they become explicit. So just so you know that right there. She goes on, by contrast, theological egalitarians insist that scripture does not warrant such restrictions. Let me be blunt, Moore tweeted. When you functionally treat complementarianism, a doctrine of man, which it is not, as if it belongs among the matters of first importance, which it does, yea, as a litmus test for where one stands on inerrancy and authority of Scripture, you are the ones who have misused Scripture. You went too far. I'm sorry, the Bible is explicit. It does not waffle on that doctrine at all. And so she is twisting the Word of God for her own agenda in order to continue to profit. And I'm telling you, prophet, she does.
And the role that women have is important.
It was decided upon by God, and to usurp that is to usurp what God intends for the people of the world. Not just the church, but for the people of the world. From LifeSite, man claiming to be female wants to become nun. I will not give up, even if I have to go to the Vatican. Well, I can assure you, if he goes to the Vatican and he gets the Pope's ear, he's going to get his request approved. From Todd Starnes, Christians tear down fences surrounding Canadian Evangelical Church. You were talking about that before, church, and I almost told you that, but they had him arrested for 38 days. He went back. They finally closed the church and put a fence around it, changed the locks, and the Christians went in and tore down all of that because that is his church, and they're going to attend there. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Iran is starting up 60% enrichment. More on that in just a minute. From the Washington Free Beacon, GOP puts Biden admin on notice. Congress is not bound by new Iran deal. This is important to remember. When Obama signed this deal, he did not do it as a treaty. We are not bound to this deal. Does everybody remember that? Treaty has to be approved by Congress, and he did not put it through Congress because he knew it wouldn't pass. And plus, the Iranians never signed the thing anyway, but they are reminding him of this. Republican foreign policy leaders in Congress officially informed the Biden admin that they will not be bound to any new agreement with Iran that promises relief from harsh economic sanctions. The letter is a sign that any new Iran deal is likely to be plagued by the same weaknesses as the original 2015 accord, which the Obama admin never brought before Congress for approval. The decision to skirt Congress meant the deal was never ratified as a formal treaty and paved the way for the Trump admin to easily cancel it in 2018. GOP foreign policy leaders are now warning Biden, the admin, that any new deal will suffer a similar fate under the next Republican administration. The lawmakers are also sending a message to Tehran. Anything promised by the Biden admin can be taken back in the near future. Following indirect talks with Iran in Vienna, the Biden admin announced that it is prepared to unilaterally unwind tough economic sanctions as part of a series of concessions meant to entice Iran into scaling back its nuclear work. Republican leaders on the House Foreign Affairs and Armed Services Committee say that any guarantees provided by the Biden admin, including sanctions relief, will be void unless they are brought before Congress for approval. As members of Congress, a co-equal branch of the federal government, we do not consider ourselves bound by executive agreements which purport to make commitments on behalf of Congress of the United States. Representatives Jim Banks and Joe Wilson told the admin in a letter addressed to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The letter represents the opening salvo in the GOP's mounting efforts to interfere with the Biden admin's ongoing diplomacy with Iran, as if it's interfering. They have a right to do this, which is being conducted without input from Democrats and Republicans on the Hill. Banks and Wilson further warned the admin that Republicans in Congress will immediately oppose and work to reverse any sanctions relief for Iran, potentially making any new agreement dead on arrival and unenforceable in the long term. This effort could attract support from hawkish Democrats, many of whom have already warned the Biden admin against unraveling sanctions that have crippled the hardline regime's economy and sparked widespread anti-government protests, which is what that was intended to do. The State Department's decision to offer sanctions relief before Iran commits to ceasing its nuclear weapons work contradicts earlier promises from senior admin officials. including Blinken, who repeatedly vowed before Congress that he would not unwind sanctions as a precondition for talks with Tehran. The policy has already been reversed in the wake of talks with Iran and European powers this week in Vienna. In other words, they lied when they were on the campaign trail. The admin's unilateral actions to unravel sanctions also contradict Blinken's sworn testimony before Congress in January. They went up there and they asked him direct questions about this issue, and he lied to them in order to get the job. He lied to them, in which he promised to restore Congress's traditional role in sculpting foreign policy. He's just overriding what he said. He lied to Congress. That ought to be justification to have him removed, but it won't be. When the Obama admin first inked the 2015 accord, it bypassed Congress due to fears that lawmakers would not sign off on the deal that awarded Iran with billions of dollars in cash and legitimized its nuclear enrichment program. The Biden admin appears to be traveling down a similar path, despite promises otherwise. From Haaretz, admin says it's prepared to remove some sanctions on Iran. Okay, we've seen that third week in a row. They keep bringing it up. We're going to do this. From the Free Beacon, Iran claims victory over America as Biden gets ready to lift sanctions. The whole world's just looking at our administration and they're laughing at this guy. Epic Times, Iran starts enriching uranium to 60%, its highest level ever. Just so you know, this morning, a news article came out, and they have achieved 60% enrichment. It has been done. The step to 8% was a very long and tedious process. From 8 to 60 is short, and from 60 to 90, where you can make weapons-grade material, is days. Days. Okay, just so you know what's going on in the world. Times of Israel. As Iran vows enrichment to 60%, White House says diplomacy is the only way forward. Diplomacy. We had no enrichment when Trump was telling these people, and when they did, he would make another sanction and they would have to suffer through it. Now he's saying diplomacy. Diplomacy is the only way forward. From JNS, America's Middle East allies unite against Iran. Middle East allies, all the Middle East does not want Iran to do this. They've allied against Iran. See start of talks as betrayal. All of them. Everybody in the Middle East is upset about what they're doing now. The core of the admin's Iran strategy is a devil's bargain that will funnel billions into Iran's imperial project across the Middle East in exchange for a temporary reprieve from Iran's relentless march towards nuclear weapons capability, said John Hanna, a senior fellow at the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. These are tense times. The world does not know how close we are to real tragedy.
I did see, too, that the Stuxnet virus back, and that put them back a little bit.
They did. They had another attack, which I wasn't going to talk about today because it's made every news service, and I try to find things that other people aren't going to talk about. But it wasn't just a virus. They also had planted a bomb in that facility, and they had to have done it. One ex-prime minister, Olmert, thinks that it may have been 15 years ago. He said it wasn't when I was prime minister, but they could have put this in there 15 years ago, waiting for the right time to detonate it. So these Israelis know what they're doing. Okay, as we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Inside the Games, Mongolia claimed 4 women's wrestling berths at Tokyo 2020 Asian qualifier, which may not happen now because you're talking about canceling the Olympics, but Mongolia claimed Olympic spots in 4 of 6 women's freestyle wrestling weight categories. The first came in the 50-kilogram category after T-O-N, that's her initials, finished 2nd in a round-robin contest that featured 5 athletes. Mongolia won in a 2nd berth thanks to B-O-B, or we'll call her Bob, in the under 53-kilogram after she defeated M-H-H of Chinese Taipei. These are all really long names, and I'm not even going to try. She beat her 2-0 in the semifinal. KB made it a 3rd Mongolian berth in succession in the woman's under 57 kg with 10.0 victory over South Korea's Ji-un in the semifinal. Mongolia's final berth came in the women's under 76 kg after the 2016 Asian champ OB finished 2nd in a round-robin tournament, making it to her 3rd Olympic Games. So there you go. Mongolia's on the rise.
Somebody better weigh a ton.
That's right. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. Let's see what has come out in the past week in this regard. from this is the name of the publication, 1945, from 1945, laser guns on F-15 fighters. The U.S. Air Force has big plans. The USAF Lifecycle Management Center just awarded Raytheon Technologies a $15.5 million contract to build and deliver an upgraded version of its high-energy laser weapon system, or HULS. Furthermore, the AFL-CMC will test the system in order to define requirements for future production programs, focusing on the air defense of air bases against unmanned aerial vehicles. A Raytheon spokesperson stated that thanks to the company's extensive laser weapon development experience, they are ready to build another, more robust laser system for the Air Force's premier organization and take a key step toward defining an airbase air defense program of record. Raytheon already has been awarded two development contracts by the Air Force for developing the HULS prototype, valued at $23.8 million and $13.1 million, respectively. The HULS system is essentially a directed energy system, meaning a laser weapon that concentrates its beams on various targets in order to destroy them by rapidly heating and destroying their electronic components. Previous HULS prototypes have been mounted to dune buggy-like vehicles and have presumably been tested statically, as their intended role would be to provide air defense protection for Air Force bases as a solution to smaller-sized drone threats. The latest Air Force contract stipulates that the newest HULS prototypes should be palletized in order to simplify logistics. The Air Force is not the only branch with laser weapons in the research and development pipeline. Parallel to the Air Force, some U.S. Navy Arleigh Burke-class destroyers have already been outfitted with laser weapons during combat deployments and have been tested in near real-world conditions. Another Air Force laser weapon project, SHIELD, would see fighters like the F-15 armed with laser pods. Now, when I was reading that, I thought, you know, that's kind of cool because they had that in Star Wars when I was a little kid, right? But I wonder, lasers are silent. So I wonder if they're going to add in like a little sound for the guy. Boop, boop. You know, I mean, it's just be boring to just sit there and pull a trigger. And so I'd like to see what they're going to do. But the Navy's laser program appears to be more mature than the Air Force's project and has resulted in higher output laser weapons, at least until this point in time. This may be in part due to the design challenges inherent in building and designing a fighter jet-mounted laser weapon compared to one on a ship. Physical space on a ship is naturally more abundant than on a fighter jet, and a ship has a much greater electricity generation potential, making the Navy's laser project easier to achieve. So there you go with that. We did talk about that about a year and a half ago, but now they're really working on it and even getting it into planes, which is something that wasn't previously addressed. Okay, the world is a dangerous place. Some of that danger is growing towards the inevitable plagues of the Book of Revelation and what that prophesies of. So let's see how that's developing. From Breitbart, Fauci, still not okay to eat or drink indoors, even if you're vaccinated. Okay, from Neoscope, CRISPR. Everybody know what CRISPR is? They cut your DNA and insert things, or they cut your DNA and take things out that they say are bad. CRISPR, okay? They work on the DNA level. They found out that it's not working out so well. CRISPR has a problem. It mangles DNA it wasn't supposed to touch. You start messing with what God has put into the design, that's a problem. A growing body of evidence suggests that the tech, which allows researchers to remove, replace, or insert new DNA sequences into a cell's genetic code, tends to also make unintended genetic changes too. Who would have thought that would happen? The latest study showing these errant on-site edits comes from scientists at the Francis Crick Institute. They looked back at the previous CRISPR studies and found that an alarming 16% contained unintended gene edits, according to the research they published in the journal PNAS. This work underscores the importance of testing for these unintended mutations to understand exactly what changes have happened in any human cell type. In the new research, scientists looked at previous studies on gene-edited human embryos donated by people who were undergoing fertility treatments and didn't need them. Most alarming is the fact that these CRISPR-Cas9-induced DNA edits totally flew under the radar at the time. That means that studies previously considered to be successful demonstrations of CRISPR-Cas9's precision may have actually been riddled with potentially dangerous errors that, in severe cases, could even lead to cancer. So scientists need to be certain their gene editing work is foolproof before ever moving it into clinical settings. Scary. That's a real plague waiting to happen there. From the Epoch Times, Governor Greg Gianforte bans vaccine passports for Montana. Epoch Times, Tennessee Senate passes bill that would ban vaccine passports. Epoch Times, State Supreme Court rules Wisconsin governor cannot limit restaurant capacity during CCP virus pandemic. He way overstepped his bounds up there. Epoch Times, exclusive, Florida Governor DeSantis says lockdowns were a huge mistake. From CBS, Western U.S. may be entering its most severe drought in modern history. We've been talking about this for several years, and it's getting worse and worse. Extreme drought across the western U.S. has become as reliable as summer afternoon thunderstorms in Florida, which are very reliable. And news headlines about drought in the West can seem a bit like a broken record, with some scientists saying the region is on the precipice of permanent drought. That's because in 2000, the western U.S. entered the beginning of what scientists call a mega drought. Now listen to the next sentence. The second worst in 1,200 years, triggered by a combination of natural dry cycle and human-caused climate change. Now, did you hear what I said at the beginning of that?
Yeah,
1,200 years, so they have a precedent where they didn't have human-caused climate change, and now they're saying that it's not as bad as that one, but it's human-caused climate change. We have no data to back that up except tree rings. Let's see here. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that from the Washington Examiner. Boston Hospital set to offer preferential care based on race. Yes. A Boston hospital says it will offer preferential care based on race and race explicit interventions in an attempt to engage in an anti-racist agenda for medicine based on critical race theory. So they're going to be racist in order to not be racist. A Boston Review article titled "An Anti-Racist Agenda for Medicine" lays out a plan from Brigham and Women's Hospital that implements a reparations framework for distributing medical resources in order to comprehensively confront structural racism. Together with a coalition of fellow practitioners and hospital leaders, we have developed what we hope will be a replicable pilot program for direct redress of many racial healthcare inequalities. The authors explain that racial inequality in hospitals is negatively affecting patients and propose solutions such as cash transfers and discounted or free care for minorities only. So if you're a poor white person or a poor Asian or whatever, you're not going to get this. I guess Asians are minorities, so maybe they'll get it. Offering a preferential care based on race or ethnicity may elicit legal challenges from our system of colorblind law. We encourage other institutions to proceed confidently on behalf of equity and racial justice, with backing provided by recent White House executive orders. Now, I will say this. I've said this at least 1,000 times during these updates, and I'll say it again. I guarantee you that not one of these people goes down to the projects on Saturdays the way we have for the past 15 years and actually interacted with people on the human level. Forget the professional level. It starts down at the home. And these people are unwilling to do that. They live in expensive houses. They get to go to their own private neighborhoods, and they're just doing this to feel good for themselves, and they're causing more damage in the process. Okay, some other news from around the world. Russia-Ukraine conflict is heating up. This is a repeat of the Obama years. In case you don't remember that, we had none of this problem during Trump's years. But before that, Ukraine and Russia were at each other's throat, and everybody thought that was going to be where the next world war was going to start. And we are right back there right now. It's a repeat of the Obama years. Reuters reports Russia calls U.S. an adversary, warns its warships to avoid Crimea. We were going to send warships into the Black Sea, okay, through the Bosphorus. Biden retreats warships. He decides, oh, I got threatened. I'm going to retreat my warships. Biden declares national emergency over Russian national security threats. So he's put himself into office forever by doing that. We got a national emergency, and you can never get rid of me. I'm kidding, but I mean, he's putting himself in a position that makes him untouchable. And remember that he and the Obama administration were in the Ukraine's back pocket. This is all coming back in, and all it is political power and money being exchanged, and we're back exactly where we were before. From JTN, Funeral aid program allows death certificates to be altered for those who may have died of COVID. You can now change your death certificate, if it doesn't say COVID, to say they may have died of COVID.
I don't think anyone can actually do that after they...
This is allowed by the federal government, okay? Death certificates may be retroactively altered to attribute death to COVID. Here's why. To qualify applicants for reimbursement by FEMA. If your loved one's death certificate doesn't have COVID listed, you can have it put in. In order to receive reimbursement, it's $9,000 for funeral costs under a new FEMA program. So all you have to do is just say, Uncle John, who got run over by a car, died of COVID, and you will get that $9,000. Epic times. What's that?
And they'll get that extra person.
And they'll get that extra point on the COVID deaths in 10 years from now. That's right. Epic times. Only vaccinated persons can board evacuation vessels to leave island volcano, says Vincent Prime Minister. Okay? Everybody heard that?
Yeah.
You have to have a vaccine in order to be evacuated out of a life-threatening emergency zone. A massive 6-mile-high eruption of ashes from, I can't pronounce that volcano, but this volcano frightened the residents of St. Vincent. Prime Minister Gonsalves said that the only people who have been vaccinated for CCP virus could board the cruise ships evacuating people off the island. The chief medical officer would be identifying the persons already vaccinated so that we can get them on the ship. Sovereign man, race-based healthcare in Vermont. Vermont has now opened up vaccinations to ethnic minorities. If you or anyone in your household identifies as Black, Indigenous, or a person of color, including anyone with Abenaki or other First Nations heritage, all household members who are 16 years older and up can sign up to get a vaccine. Health Vermont does not explain why there's a racially segregated line for COVID vaccine. Okay, having said that, it said if you identify. Yeah. And I've got a brother who on Facebook has identified as a Black female for the past 4 years.
What?
And yeah, hey, listen, as a statement of protest.
Yes, of course.
Come on. I mean, obviously he's not a Black female, but he could go in there and say, I am a Black female and I want this. That's how stupid these things are, but that's what they are allowing here. From Reuters, Biden seeks funding to probe white supremacist beliefs at immigration agencies. Biden called for funding to investigate complaints of white supremacist beliefs at U.S. immigration enforcement agencies in his first budget request to Congress. But officials offered no explanation for what prompted his request. They just want to weed out anybody that believes in Jesus. That's what they want. Get God out of there. If you believe, if you're a Christian, you're a supremacist and you're not getting promoted and you're going to be out of here. That's what this is. From Reuters, U.S. considering cash payments to Central America to stem migration. Our last president said, if you don't stem this migration, we're going to take away your money. This guy's offering to give them money. The U.S. is considering a conditional cash transfer program to help address economic woes that led migrants from certain Central American countries to trek north, as well as sending COVID-19 vaccines to those countries. Trump stopped this in like 2 weeks. He just said, if you don't do this, we're taking away your money. And they stopped. They got all their people down there and they stopped them. Zero Hedge. Seattle Elementary School won't let city remove giant homeless encampment as students return to class. Students at one Seattle elementary school are getting an unexpected lesson in sharing, as district officials are refusing assistance from the city to remove a homeless encampment on school grounds until all of the vagrants are placed in shelters. They're demanding they give them shelters, and if not, they're going to let them stay there with their children playing. Now, this article is going to say that they're not close. That is not true. They got photos, and they're right on the, you know, where the people play football. What do you call that? Anyway, playground. All right. The decision to let the homeless remain, over a quarter of whom have severe mental illness or substance abuse issues, has rattled some parents, you think, who have asked the district to reconsider. Seattle Public Schools is a separate governmental entity, and it controls its own properties. The city of Seattle does not and cannot go onto school grounds and start dealing with encampments. The city has years of experience moving homeless people into housing, while the school district does not. They made it very clear that they did not want to relocate those encampments unless they can place those people into shelters. NTD. Philippines warns China by invoking U.S. treaty. To get Chinese ships out of its waters, the Philippines is invoking a 70-year-old treaty it has with the U.S. The treaty says an assault on Filipino territory is the same as an assault on U.S. territory. Now, a few weeks ago, I said that the Democrats always start the wars. Always. It's always the left. And, of course, you get barbecued when you say something like that, and you have to correct the people that barbecue you. And they say, well, what about Bush starting the Gulf War? George Bush did not start the Gulf War. He ended the Gulf War. What happened is they went in Iraq into a sovereign nation known as Kuwait, okay? They went into Kuwait, and Kuwait had an agreement with the United States. And if we didn't fulfill our obligation, we would no longer be held in any esteem by any nation on this planet. We did not start the war, we finished the war, okay? In this case, the Philippines is doing exactly what is right, and if they attack, we are by treaty obligated to attack China. To force them out. This is a very tense thing here. Zero Hedge. Minnesota police chief resigns after reporters rebuke for calling riot a riot.
Oh my God.
Yes, he said the word riot and they excoriated him. They're burning down buildings, they're shooting people, but it's not a riot. TPM. Officer who shot and killed Dante Wright arrested and charged with manslaughter. From the Epic Times, no charges against officer who shot Ashley Babbitt, says the DOJ. It was ruled as a homicide. They will not release his name or any of his details. He murdered an unarmed citizen of the United States of America, and there are no charges. This person defended against a person that was fleeing, and she said out loud three times, it's right on there. If you play it in very slow motion, you can hear her say, taser, 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 warning the guys to get out of the way, and she shot him thinking it was a taser, okay? And they're charging her with manslaughter. And she'll probably go to jail over it. From NextWeb, Facebook adds labels to satire pages because people can't tell what's real. Now they say this is a satire article. Facebook does. Hey, listen, I agree with that. For the first time of anything Facebook has done, I saw somebody post something on their thing and said how bad Trump was. And I said, that's a satire article from the Babylon Bee. And the person called me a racist. Yeah, you're a racist if you identify something as being satire, which is satire. So now Facebook must be racist. There you go. Okay, from The Blaze, university will no longer describe suspects' race in public safety advisories to avoid negative stereotypes. So all they can say is somebody. They can't say he's a guy or a girl or black or white or tall or short. Somebody did something to somebody, and we need you to help us identify and find this person. That's all they can do. From Fox, NASA reveals Artemis program will land first person of color on the moon. Too late. They already sent a white guy.
Yeah,
white is color. Too late. From The Blaze, U.S. Navy ripped for adding face mask to Bald Eagle logo. No kidding. They put a face mask on their Navy logo. China, Iran, and Russia are laughing at us. NBC. Woman claiming to be Harry Potter. You'll never hear this again, so I want you to listen to this, because you're never going to hear this title ever again in the history. This is the first time this has ever been said, and it'll be the last time it's ever been said. Woman claiming to be Harry Potter kills federal New York judge in Florida hit and run. Whatever. I just thought I'd throw it in because it was so unusual. Okay. Question. Who said this? If fascism ever comes to America, it will come in the name of liberalism.
It's Reagan.
Reagan! Okay, you get a Maserati.
There we go.
Okay, I got two Lesricks here for you, and then we'll be into one more thing, and we'll be done. In order to get funeral aid, it depends on how your loved one was slayed. Now you can change the cause, never mind the truth, the laws. All that matters is that FEMA paid. Now those living can make some more bread with respect to the ones that are dead. If the COVID don't show, you can still get some dough when death's cause says corona instead. Okay, I got two ironies for you. I understand, I say this every time I bring this up, I understand that death is not funny, but it can be ironic. And so I call this not fun in Philly. Okay, from Fox, Philadelphia shooting results in death of man working on video about city's gun violence. He was shot in the head, chest, torsos, and legs. Police Chief Inspector Scott said the production company was working to shed light on gun violence. That was ironic. And then from Fox, Philadelphia man shot and killed on prison grounds shortly after release. Yes. Such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report of the week.